Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Five-hour energy. Go. When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Snap back, well protected. Over the middle, great throw to Turpin down the middle, and off he goes to the 50. Turpin to the 20, to the 10, and how about Turpin to the house?
Brad Sham with the call in the game you heard right here. I believe that was the only touchdown the Cowboys scored. It's fist pump time.
All season?
No, not all season. Feels like it. Fist pump time on 105 Fifth End. Chris Strong getting it in. Peyton does a short stroke. Chris has got a good long stroke going when he does his fist pump. I'm RJ Choppy. He is Bobby Belt. Gotcha. Chris is in for Peyton. Coming up today, the dual broadcast from the Men's Tea Center in Frisco. Both KNC and the G-Bag Nation broadcasting live 5000 El Dorado Boulevard in Frisco for the Men's Tea Center for Men's Health Awareness Month.
Ah, sounds like some sounds like a winning program there in Frisco. At least there's one.
There's one winning program. What did you make of Jerry Jones and what he had to say for us for the last 30 minutes?
I felt like a lot of it was standard. And look, I mean, there's only so many different ways to ask after five straight losses, y'all going to fix this or is this going to get right? I mean, that's kind of going to be what it's going to be. I thought it was interesting that he didn't seem comfortable saying, yes, our coaches give us an advantage. That,
yeah,
he just said, well, that's a good question. he also seemed to, he obviously mentioned that that's something they wrestle with, is the idea of, is McCarthy spread too thin by calling plays? And so he said, look, I thought we were on a roll last year with it, and we've seen it work both ways, and we've tried it both ways, but I think that there's a clear growing frustration, not even frustration. There's a sobering reality for him about his coaching staff right now. He's not throwing anybody under the bus, but I think he's being much more measured talking about his coaches.
Yeah. You know, because earlier we had asked him, you know, like, does he, because he brought, the first thing he said was the injuries. That's the first thing he brought up, which means, all right, has he given him an out? And I felt like kind of,
which he did say, he said you take it into account.
Yeah.
That you have, but I don't know
which
that
you have to, but you also, but have
as,
to be realistic.
As Jerry
about
said
it.
Last week, we were bad with Dak in there.
Yeah.
Like Jerry said that himself.
Mm-hmm.
And so they, you know, that's kind of where things are. I think, you know, we heard about the injuries to Zach Martin and Tyler Smith and those. Ferguson's being a concussion. I thought it was interesting that he would say that was the one he was most concerned about. Because that would mean, clearly a concussion is a serious injury, but typically you feel like concussions are, you know, you go through the protocol and you just basically need the time to get better. But that sounded like it must have been a really difficult concussion with Jake Ferguson, because he said it was, even after the game, you could tell it was not great.
I'll tell you this. I got the feeling that he is morphing into late 80s, early 90s George Steinbrenner.
Meaning?
because he kept talking about, you know, we've been one of the most successful teams over the years, you know, with winning records. And George loved to say that. He said, no team has won more games than we did in the 1980s. And they never won a title.
Hasn't that always been the things Jerry said, though? He's talked about their titles or, you know, I mean, Steven mentions that. Steven mentions that nobody's won more games than it's them and the Chiefs, basically, over the last 6 years or something like that. Like, I mean, they all use that as a line.
They do, but it feels like that is even more like even you, because we even use that. You know, if you go back to basically when Bill Parcells got here, if they've had their quarterback for the entire year, they've had a winning record. Or at least a 500 record. And that was in jeopardy this year. With or without Dak, it was in jeopardy. This is just one of those years. But they, you know, I just got that feeling. This is going to be an ugly 7 weeks.
Yeah, it's going to be a very, like, tough, basically, I mean, they're not good. Their team isn't good. I don't think their coaches are very good for the most part. And that's not, it's not me trying to slight anybody. I don't think they do give you an advantage. I think most weeks you are operating at a schematic disadvantage with their coaches. And you're definitely working at a preparation disadvantage.
Yeah, I think that the coaching staff is, I would call it a net zero.
I know you think that I've been too harsh on McCarthy.
Well, look, you don't my thing is, I think you can't separate personal and.
I absolutely can. I was not a fan of McCarthy from the time he was hired before there were ever any interactions or anything.
Then you've already not.
But that's because he's shown exactly who he was as a coach.
Well, look, again, I mean.
But here's my thing. Regardless. You think I'm too critical of him. I'm going to ask you this, though. Would you agree that given all the evidence we have, McCarthy is a poor head coach when it comes to preparing 53 players?
I think he is a net zero from an advantage.
But from a preparation standpoint, and some of the detail stuff. Idea. Every team, even when they've been good, their teams are bad at details.
I think that that's because we watch this team and we don't watch the other teams.
But we watch the teams across from Dallas, and they don't have the same detail.
But again,
issues.
We don't watch them the same way. Like I don't like if the other team gets a penalty, I don't even pay attention to an attention to detail thing. I'm only focused on the Cowboys.
I think we do notice when we get procedural mistakes on the other side and get the advantage of them. Like, oh, that was a key moment in the game.
We don't chart them the way we would with the Cowboys. We just forget easier. It moves on to the next play. Because if you were to look, like, can you find the most penalized teams in the NFL?
Yeah, let's look.
I would assume the Cowboys are. My assumption is they're high. I think I saw this. They're probably more mid pack.
I think they're probably. My guess. I'm about to look. I'm gonna guess they're 12 like to 10 17. To 12, something like that. The leaders in penalties by teams against count. Dallas is, well, it's tough because they're playing, they haven't played the same number of games as some of these teams. Right. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. They're 12th.
Who's number one?
Baltimore.
Does anybody
Baltimore's think that, played 11 games, though.
But does anybody think Baltimore has a attention to detail problem or a coaching problem?
By the way, I will note that this does not include these numbers. They still have Dallas at 9 games, so this is not updated from last night. Dallas picked up 9 penalties last night, so Dallas now would be 5th in the NFL in penalties.
But and the other games, they did?
They have been updated because this updated with Sundays. This hasn't been updated with Mondays yet. So Dallas is now
high.
They're 5th in penalties. They have 76. That the Jets have 77. They're fourth. Seattle 79. Tennessee 82. Baltimore has 92. Baltimore's played one more game.
92.
Yep.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, that's not good. I think they're a net zero. I don't think they give you a coaching advantage.
By the way, they have been they playing just messy, sloppy games in general because Dallas is the third highest beneficiary count in the NFL.
Hmm. So that means the other teams are getting more penalties?
They're getting like at a higher rate than the rest of the league.
Okay. Interesting.
Because last night it was 9-9.
Yeah. I mean, there's not even much to talk about with the game. The game stunk. This is what the games are going to be.
It was a bad football team versus a not great football team. So Houston is not good.
They're not good.
Houston's okay. That's all they are.
This game we saw last night is the exact game we're going to see for the next 7 weeks. We're going to see a bad football team that has a quarterback that is not, you know, he's a backup. You're going to be fighting for points.
We did this last week, And I want to update it because I want to see if it changes at all for you. Just blind read of it right now. I'm going to list the games remaining on the schedule. You tell me if your inclination is win or loss, okay? At Washington.
Loss.
At home against the Giants.
Win.
At home against the Bengals.
Loss.
At the Panthers.
Win.
At home against the Bucks.
Loss.
At Philadelphia.
Loss.
At home against the Commanders.
Loss.
Okay, so you've got them at 5-12.
Yep.
It's a bad football team.
It's a bad football team. And that's... Coaches don't stick around for 5-12.
No. Not
generally. First year you might. Second year you might. And 5 years in, that's not, you know, it's, this is not...
He's been given a lot of time.
He's been given time. It's fine.
And what if... I've said it over and over. I think you generally agree with it. Maybe you don't. But I've said it over and over again that Mike was brought in here not to be 12-5. Mike was brought in here to do something different than Jason Garrett did in January. And so far, he hasn't. Yeah, and so when you get to the point where you didn't make a difference in January and now you're at 5-12, it's like, all right, this is... It's probably time.
I agree.
Question is, who's on deck? Who's next? Now, there was an article from Diana Russini this week where she talked about some of the different things that she was hearing, some of the coaches' notebook rumblings that she had. We went through the list from SI of future coaching candidates. She said we're looking at 8 to 10 head coaching jobs that could come open this offseason. She did mention that Deion is not going to be in consideration for Dallas. In fact, she went further than that. She said she has not spoken to a single decision maker in the NFL that has expressed interest in talking to Deion. Does that surprise you? Not one person has been like, I'd talk to him or I'd want to bring him in for an interview.
It doesn't surprise me because I think NFL owners are scared of noise.
In what sense?
Like,
because they do want to make some sort of a splash hire.
They do, but I'm not saying Deion's a distraction because I don't think he's a distraction, but I think owners would view him as taking away because he's so powerful. And I think the owners don't want to give a coach. They don't want the coach to be more powerful than maybe they are.
Or prominent, yeah.
Or prominent. And that's sure. The problem that Deion's going to run into. He's going to have to find a very secure owner who doesn't mind being in the background.
Some of the other interesting notes that
ain't this guy.
Some of the interesting coaching notes that Russini has from around the league and which will obviously impact Dallas is, let's be honest, they will be looking for another head coach here in, you know, 6 weeks, 6 to 8 weeks, whatever it'll be. She said it's too early to say with any confidence right now whether Ben Johnson will actually leave Detroit. That's still a question for him right now. You remember, I'm trying to think, we've had this happen before where a coordinator we felt like stayed like, didn't we feel like Marvin Lewis was that way? Didn't Marvin Lewis...
He stayed a while in Baltimore.
And then he went to Washington, and he kind of had passed on jobs for a couple different times. McDaniels did that a couple different times, and then he would say he was going, and then he wouldn't say... But she says Ben Johnson, it's not been clear yet if he's willing to jump in on the cycle.
Win the Super Bowl this year, I think he's going to go.
Yeah, because it's finished work at that point.
I do genuinely think he enjoys Dan Campbell... I think he enjoys his relationship with Goff.
Sure. Yeah, I think those are both true. The guy getting a lot of hype right now, when she talked about Deion, she said, no, the player turned coach getting a lot of hype right now. And the guy who is interested in getting back in is Vrabel, which makes sense. Vrabel was somebody who I think a lot of people felt like got kind of a raw deal in Tennessee. That was not...
That wasn't
his decision. He didn't want to trade A.J. Brown. He was furious that they traded A.J. Brown.
They dumped Mike Vrabel early because they just had to get Tommy Callahan's dad.
Who's Tommy Callahan?
Tommy Boy.
Oh, is that his name in the movie? Fat guy in a little coat? No, oh, okay.
Bobby.
Last note, I've never seen Tommy Boy. I've seen that scene. Oh my gosh, that sounded like a pleasured groan from you there. This is the last note here that I think is kind of interesting when you talk about how it'll impact the hiring cycle. Apparently, Tom Brady will have a massive voice in who the Raiders hire.
At 10% of the ownership?
What she writes here, she said, while Brady is busy broadcasting for Fox and they only have 10% equity in the Raiders, I expect his involvement in running the team to be closer to 90%. So Brady is going to have a big hand, apparently. And if they move on from Antonio Pierce, Tom Brady will have a big say, which maybe that's Vrabel, because he and Vrabel are
maybe that's Bill.
Friends. Are they good enough at this point? Wasn't there a little tension there?
Well, I mean, tension and, you know, does Bill view the Raiders as like a big job? Because, you know, they are a brand. They're a mega brand.
Mm-hmm.
They're the most under, I think, discussed brand in the league. Because they're, you know what I mean? Like, they got a fan, they got a huge fan base.
Yeah.
I mean, they still might be the most popular team in California.
Oh, I would guess them or the Cowboys.
Yeah, or San Fran.
Although maybe not the Cowboys. We saw what Oxnard looked like. So.
All right, you know what? Special Tuesday edition of Nick Heatman. He will join us coming up next here on 105 Through the Fan.
7-0.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stan the Fan 5-Hour Energy. Shipped nationwide.
Fourth down, Stroud back. Sets and looks. Fourth down over the middle. Intercepted at the 10-yard line. Hooker caught it and then ran into Diggs and runs up the left side. And Hooker is tackled at around the 34-yard line by the center, Juice Scruggs.
One of the, handful of halfway decent plays that happened last night, the Hooker interception, even though it's more on CJ Stroud.
Yeah, kind of threw it behind him, but. Yep.
And over the top, but.
We're not going to. Yeah, look. You're not going to style point a turnover.
No, you absolutely are not. It is time to bring on Nick Heatman, DallasCowboys.com, a rare Tuesday appearance.
Actually, I think this is the second Tuesday in a row he's been on.
Is it? So,
yeah.
Was there a holiday? Oh, yeah, there was a holiday last week.
Yeah.
Veterans Day.
Yep.
That's right. We worked. We worked, unlike Nick. He is brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort. Proud to be the casino of the Dallas Cowboys. Morning, Nick.
Morning.
Where were you when the sheet metal fell from the sky?
Sitting in my seat watching the entire thing. I mean, I absolutely had eyes on it and watched it the entire time all the way down. Did not think it was sheet metal. Like, I don't know what I thought it was, but it wasn't kind of floating around like metal, you know? Mm. So I wasn't as concerned by it, you know, and I watched it all the way, and then it went, it landed about as perfectly as you could land, you know, that thing, like, you know, just right at the edge of between the seats and the field.
I gotta be honest, if I was on the field, if I was within 5 yards of that thing, I am on the ground. Oh, my leg.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Chop is definitely an ambulance chaser. He would 100% do that. He would instantly fall down and grab his knee, and that would be what it is. Yeah, you know, Nick, that was the one thing, the sheet metal. But it does kind of feel like the sky itself is falling with this Cowboys team right now. That's not even a very good Texans team right now. They don't look that impressive, no. And they still beat you by 24 points.
Yeah, and it's like 2 weeks in a row now where – I guess the Eagles, you know, they are rolling a little bit, but they didn't look that impressive either. It's just, it's 2 weeks in a row of like, okay, you're in it, you're battling, but like it's like the other team's just leaning on you, and then by the end of the game, it looks bad because it is. I mean, it's a blowout. I mean, that's why you play four quarters, and so. You know, the Cowboys are hanging in there, but like they just don't have the firepower to match for four quarters. And when you see at the end of the game, you're like, well, yeah, this looks pretty bad.
Nick, when you look at the Tyler Guyton issue right now, obviously he's a little banged up, you know, has an injury situation. Jerry Jones told us earlier this, you know, just last hour that, you know, Guyton's got the injury issue, but they're not considering any sort of a change at left tackle, even though he seems to be saying a lot of, you know, having to play two rookies there is the problem of their communication on the offensive line. Do you think there's any consideration or will be any consideration closing out the season to say, hey, we got to find out some combination that works without some of these young guys? They need some time to sit.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he's got to learn how to be a pro. I mean, and I'm not singling him out. All rookies do. But he's got to figure that out on the run here, and I think that's what's a big problem for him is just, you know, I still think that, you know, he's got to learn, you know, he doesn't know these moves from these defensive ends. He's got to learn how to get his body right. He's got to learn the difference between being hurt, being sore, you know, and he's got to learn how to fall on the ball. I mean, there's a lot of things like that he's learning on the run. And, you know, he just hasn't played a lot of football. And these are the growing pains that they knew would happen, you know, when they drafted him. He didn't play a lot of football in college. So he's going to have to figure that out. And while he's figuring it out every week, it's you know, it's a premier pass rusher. I don't know if the Texans have a guy like that, but, you know, they did. I know the guy was banged up, but. You know, every week he is facing someone really good and learning on the run, and he's just he hasn't gotten there yet.
Nick, did you get a chance to listen to Jerry last hour?
Yes.
What did you think about his? I guess the takeaway Choppy and I kind of had was we thought it was interesting the more muted endorsement he seemed to give when we asked if the coaches give his team an advantage every week. What did you think in general about how he talked about some of his perspective on the coaches and Mike being the walk around guy and those sort of things?
Yeah. He said what, 32 coaches, you know, I know,
man, when he knows that number off the top of his head, that's usually not a good thing. I feel like
not good. I remember him saying that same statement. Maybe it was on y'all's show a few years ago when it was 27, you know, or 29 or whatever it is. And so, yeah, the numbers keep growing, and it's like that in every sport. I mean, watch a basketball game and see how many coaches are in the second row, you know, back there. I don't understand that, but yeah, there's a lot of that going on. And you know, he just said we've done it both ways with the walk around coach and all that. I don't know if that's gonna change a lot because I just feel like if he was walking around, okay, say someone calls the plays now, Schottenheimer or whoever, Scott Tolzien, somebody calls the plays. Well, he's going to walk around. Is he going to go in and start messing with Zimmer's defense and start talking to him a whole lot? And really, you know, like, I you get a better feel for the game, but, you know, I saw Andy Reid the other day just looking at the iPad talking to to somebody, and it's like, wow, there's like four defensive plays going on right now, and he's not even looking at that. So I don't even know if that stuff, if it matters as much. I think more what matters most than anything is maybe that there needs to be some kind of change in the philosophy of calling the plays. Maybe they just need a different voice. Nothing, just like, you know, it was working with Kellen Moore, but I think Mike McCarthy thought it needed to be different, so they made a change. I think right now, I don't think it would be the worst thing in the world to make a change. Just to have some kind of different, thought on how we call things on fourth and two, or how we do things on third and nine, or first and ten, you know, just things like that.
Yeah, I mean, you could change anything, but the way Cooper's throwing the ball, you might not matter either way. Nick Eatman joining us here, 105 through the Fan. Do you think they have started to, I don't want to say quit, because I don't think their effort signified a quit, but their attention to detail did. Do you think they have kind of tuned Mike out?
I think those are two different things. I don't think they've tuned him out, but I don't know if the attention to detail has been there all year. And so I don't know if we can add those two things together. I mean, Dak was sitting up there in week two or three talking about it. They didn't practice very well this week, had a terrible week of practice in week two. I think the attention to detail has been a separate issue and a lack of preparation. They continue to struggle to start the game. They continue to struggle in the third quarter, scoring. They don't just come out hot and hit anyone in the mouth. I mean, that doesn't happen. I don't know, but I'm not going to say they've quit on their team. I have made this statement a lot. I think sometimes when teams struggle to the sense of urgency and all that, it's not always, you know, it's during the week, and it's those attention to detail moments as it is more than just the game. But, as I wrote in my article last night, this team has no margin for error, but they have a lot of errors. And so it's you add that up and you get another 24-point loss.
Nick Eatman from DallasCowboys.com joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. All right, Nick, were you surprised that Brian Anger ended up playing more snaps at quarterback than Trey Lance?
Yes, I am. And again, you know, I think I made the bad joke about closing the roof because that ball might have hit it again, you know, up there. I mean, he's got a floater that he throws it. It's funny, when that play happened, I was actually looking at the receivers, at the gunners. You know, I was looking at them, and I was thinking, man, it's one-on-one coverage if they did want to have a fake. And then I looked at the Texan sideline, and I said, oh, wait, no, you wouldn't run it on the Texan sideline. You would run it on the Cowboys sideline. So I looked over at Flannoy, I think, was up there, and he had his guy beat. And the next thing I know, I look across in the middle of the field, and there's, was it Wanye that they threw it to?
Yep.
I don't know. I don't know what Anger saw or what they saw that they would say, yeah, that works. I mean, there was a guy right there.
Plus, I also think he's actually a lefty. He doesn't know it yet. He doesn't have a very strong arm. I think he's a lefty.
He doesn't. I feel like we've seen him throw it. I feel like he's thrown a couple before. I just don't understand. You know, one thing that I don't get is if you're going to go for it, then let your quarterback go for it. But even if you're going to run a fake, you know, you've got offensive players that you could throw it to that are used to catching the ball. They're used to running after the catch, making plays like that. And that's one thing in Atlanta, they throw it to C.J. Goodwin. I don't think he's getting a lot of reps on the jugs machine all the time. And there's Flannoy on the other side. And then here's the same thing. They throw it across the middle to Wanye Thomas. I mean, maybe that could be somebody else. Now, Wanye caught the ball. You know, I mean, he did a nice job there, but I guess. But I'm just saying, it's just like, if you're going to do those things, at least give yourself a little bit better option with the playmakers out there. But, when we're worried about how they're doing the fake punts, I mean, you've already lost half the battle right there.
Nick, you know, it seems like we've got this consistent theme now of, at the end of games, Mike McCarthy stands up at the post-game press conference and he's talking about things like, man, I really wanted to get Trey Lance in there, or man, I really wanted to run the ball more, or, hey, we needed this opportunity more. And he's talking about things that he's got control over. But he's talking about them almost like it was out of his hands a little bit. What do you think's going on that these plans that McCarthy seems to have during the week and that he's frustrated they didn't get to post-game, where's the disconnect there in what McCarthy wants to do and actually implementing it?
Well, we all do that, though, right? You know, like, I have a bye weekend or you have 2 days off. You're like, I wanted to do this. I wanted to do that. I wanted to clean this out and clean the garage and do this. And it just doesn't happen, you know? So, like, it happens. It happens like that. But you're right. He's in control of it. And I kind of understand. Again, I've never been on the sidelines calling plays, but I understand how there's a lot of factors involved there. That's what you want to do. But you're like, you know, then you got another person in your ear saying, hey, let's do this on this next series. And you're like, all right, I like that. But he's just going to have to make that decision. I mean, of, hey, this is what we're doing. He said he's not a gadget player, but I think there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with being a gadget player right now. I don't know if he's a starting quarterback either. So I think you have to gradually put that in. And fourth and two, by the way, I hated that call. I hated it at the time. And I just feel like, man, you took points off the board, which I was okay with that. But you take points off the board knowing that let's try to get a touchdown. If not, let's got a closer field goal. Let's get those points back. And on fourth and two down there, I mean, I just feel like if you think it's easy to get 2 yards, then everybody would go for two after every touchdown. I hated that. I don't think he's the type of quarterback that's going to – if you have Lamar, even if you have Trey Lance, you have a guy that can improvise. You can't run the ball. So I would have put him in a play like that if you're going to go for it. But I'm kicking a field goal to go back down seven.
Thank you, Nicholas.
See you guys.
Nick Eatman, DallasCowboys.com. Brought to you by the Windstar World Casino and Resort.
I just got some great news from Cowboys PR. Post Malone has announced his next tour. May 9th at AT&T Stadium, baby.
All right.
With Jelly Roll.
Yeah. Well, he gets a lot of good things coming in. None of them were Cowboy related.
That's the best thing to come out of Frisco in weeks.
Yeah, it is. Best news. You know, yeah. Lainey Wilson on Thanksgiving for the halftime show. That's a reason enough to watch.
Tickets general on sale begins Tuesday, November 26th.
Hosty.
Hell okay. Yeah, baby.
Very, very nice. All right, it is Crosstalk with KMC Masterpiece coming up next on The Fan.
Snap to Rush. Good block from Guyton, but the guy knocked the ball out of his hands. The ball is picked up by Guyton, and he lost it. And the Texans have it. And here they come down the left side, and it's Derek Barnett. And he's going to rumble in for a defensive score.
34-10. Cowboys lose. They've lost five straight. They've lost six straight at home. They've trailed in every home game by 20 points. That's an NFL record. By the way, the New Orleans Saints have scored the most touchdowns this year at AT&T Stadium.
And they fired their head coach.
Yeah, the Saints scored six touchdowns in that game. The Cowboys have scored five touchdowns at home all year.
Oh, my God.
It is. And the Lions tied them, right?
The Lions tied them. That's right. That's right. Bobby had the stat yesterday. The Lions have scored more.
The Lions have scored 21 touchdowns in the second quarter this year, which at the time was five more than the Cowboys have scored all season.
Okay.
But hey,
for the whole year,
Mike McCarthy's great. He's just awesome.
Gentlemen, where are we today?
Sarcastic.
I am being sarcastic.
Where are we today?
Guys, we are at Men's Tea Clinic in North Frisco, 5000 Eldorado Parkway. Just come on out here today, and you can give Mike a kiss right on the lips if you want to.
No, you can't.
What?
Okay.
What you can do is get $25 tea test for all patients. You get your baseline, you get your plan, you can get complimentary B12 injections for all patients, complimentary in-body scan, weight loss consult. First five guys who walk in to see us here in North Frisco at Men's Tea Clinic will receive one complimentary bottle of Men's Tea Clinic Preferred Cardiovascular Health and Cell Delivery Supplement.
Ooh. Mike, do you know your tea level number?
I don't know it right now. I know it was 182 when I was 35 years old.
Oh, dear.
182?
Yes, which was very low.
Oh. I was about to congratulate you.
That's
low.
You want it to be, yeah. I will say, you want it to be at least 300. I know this is a big range, and this is where Men's Tea Clinic comes in because they're going to give you individualized treatment. Is you want to be somewhere between 300 and 1,000.
I want to be 1,200 minimum.
And that's going to be your preferred destination, wherever you want to be, wherever you feel. Like, to give you an example, when my testosterone levels, when I was doing Men's Tea Clinic and doing it, what I'd say, just getting a little bit too much, I got into the mid-700s. I did start getting uncomfortable where I was at there. So I was like, this is for me, this is a little too much. For somebody like Choppy, who is a roid head, I guess, would want to be over 1,200.
I want to be somewhere.
Okay. Like, if you want,
I want to be somewhere between a juice head and my heart explodes. I want to kind of toe that line.
Huh. Yeah, I think that they wouldn't recommend that.
I don't know if that's what Men's Tea would say straight away.
I don't think they want to recommend that one either.
But that's why you need to come in here and consult with them so they can be like, hey,
$25. No. Today, give them a call, 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA. This is for all five locations, but we'd love to come see you here at North Frisco. El Dorado is your exit. $25 to get your numbers checked so you can see where you're at. Are you at Mike Bassick 35-year-old levels at 182? I can tell you that it helped me out tremendously to get into at least the 400 range, and then I like being in the 500 to 600 range. That's where I personally like being with my testosterone, but if you want to be in the 400 range, you want to be close to 1,000, that is individualized to where you feel you need to be.
Very guys, nice. Would you say that Men's Tea Clinic is the best professional organization in the Frisco city limits?
Yes, I would.
What's wrong with you, Bobby?
I would.
Nothing's wrong with me. I'm great. I'm happy. I'm
Bobby
delirious.
Bobby is on one today. Bobby was so upset this morning.
I was upset at Peyton.
So upset this morning.
I was not upset. I was not upset about the Cowboys. I was
because
upset
Peyton's
at Peyton.
Not here.
Yeah,
yeah. Because Peyton's being soft again. He's going, oh, I worked the Cowboys game till
if you're soft, Men's Tea Clinic can help out. 972 Go Men's Tea or menstclinic.com. 5 DFW locations for $25. You can see if you're soft.
what do we have coming up with the show today, gentlemen?
Oh my gosh, all of that
I feel like
right
a lot
there.
Of innuendo like that.
Yeah. Also, Mike is going to ask all the football questions at noon today. That's that topic right there. I think you need to be here for, and I think he's furious, Kevin, about the rookie of the year situation.
Yes, I think you're
right. So baseball nuggets at 10:40. Be ready for some fire there. And AM on the FM at 11:20 because it's a Tuesday, and he's better than Peyton.
Wow, he showed up for work after a Cowboys game. That's very impressive from Alec. I've got Bob asks one football question for you guys because we've talked about it in here today. So consistently we're hearing after games now from McCarthy like, man, I really wanted to get Trey Lance in there. That didn't happen. Man, I really wanted
Probably
to run the ball
have.
With Turpin, or I wanted to run the ball with Rico Dowdle. That didn't happen. I really wanted to involve this player. That didn't happen. Boy, so my question is, where's the disconnect between him talking all week about what he wants to do, not doing it in the game, and then talking as if, that wasn't up to me. Wish we could have done that. Where's that disconnect there?
Yeah, that feels worse than the penalties thing, and I get that everyone's being really careful about what they say there, and they're like, oh, yeah, everybody's trying really hard. That is weird. I at least appreciate that he said he regretted that, so it did seem like he took the blame for not doing that, at least with Trey Lance.
I want to ask a little more about the penalties thing. What are you kind of alluding to there?
I don't know why I keep thinking it's going to be different. Like, you start the fourth quarter, and you get a penalty, and you're like, hey, what did you guys talk about?
You start the third quarter with a false start.
Yes.
And you're like, what just happened here?
Micah goes offsides, and he's like, hey, you're doing great. Just don't do that again. And he's like, I'll do the best I can. And then he gets another penalty. And you know, just like, I don't know.
It does seem there's an accountability issue. I don't know.
Yeah,
for sure.
I heard them this morning talking about, you know, because we talked about this too. The Baltimore Ravens are the highest penalized team in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And Choppy, you were about to say this morning, I don't think anybody thinks of them as a team that doesn't pay attention to detail or has a coaching problem.
That's a good point.
But that being said, they do not pay attention to detail. They're just better.
Their defense is bad, and a lot of those are defensive penalties too. Their defense has been roundly criticized as being really bad this year.
Yeah, and that's a new defensive coordinator, correct? Because their other one went to go coach the Seattle Seahawks. And so there's a little bit of – I'll give him a little learning curve there, but – for the most part, they're just a better athletic team. They're better at what they do, and they can compensate for a lot of those penalties.
Yeah.
The Cowboys can't.
They can overcome.
They're undisciplined and poor talented.
Yeah. I just think that's the thing, is that we can come up with all the different ways that we want to say it and the different angles you want to take it. Like, it all comes back to, they're bad. That's yes. what it is. They're bad. They have bad coaches. They have bad players. They have bad execution, bad attention to detail, bad communication. It's universally bad. And that all ultimately comes down on Jerry and the Cowboys front office. And it just kind of, you know, the responsibility, you start at the top, they get the most, and then a little bit less and a little bit less, to the point where then you get down to the players. And to me, the players are, there's only so much they're going to be able to do with their lack of talent that they're putting out there right now. But to me, this is, one is Jerry, two is McCarthy, and then everything else under that I think is kind of trivial in terms of responsibility for how bad this has gotten.
I agree, yeah.
Well, I mean, you heard it. It's unacceptable. So I imagine we'll just be making all kinds of changes.
You know what's funny about that word, unacceptable, is that it's usually used by people who are then going to just accept that that's a reality and they're going to continue forward anyway. Is that unacceptable is supposed to mean, this is unacceptable, we won't accept it, so we're purging it. That doesn't mean that they're unacceptable here in Dallas means like, we're really sorry, but you know, we're gonna keep doing what we do.
Hey, and that's why maybe we'll work into the first segment as a little bit of a rebuttal to Jerry Jones and some of the nonsense.
Are we playing the State of the Union again?
Oh, no, we're not allowed. I don't think we're supposed to make reference to that either. We scrubbed it from the YouTube to make sure that was the case.
Mike, you had a problem with Skeens and Heal winning the Rookie of the Year?
No, I think that they were both deserving. How Wyatt Lankford finished 7th, I just have no clue. On that, I say I'm lucky enough on this. Every month now, I get to vote for two things in Major League Baseball.
Well,
they don't tell me what I'm going to vote for. At the end of the month, they say, "Hey, Mike, you vote for Rookie of the Month in the American League and Reliever of the Month in the American League." And I'm going to be like, I'm not watching every Emmanuel Clase, time he gets into the game. I can't. It's impossible for any voter to watch every major league game and every inning. But what I do is I do take the time to look at the packet Major League Baseball sends, and you go through all of the stats that they give you, and they give you 10 to 20 candidates for each possible award for that month. And you look at all of the stats. You can look at analytic stats. You can look at your basic stats. And then I try to give the best vote I can. I'm not saying I'm right. Sometimes you're down to two or three people like, ooh, this is going to be tough between, let's say, just possibly Mason Miller, Emmanuel Clase, and Kirby Yates. You're like, these are the three that I'm eliminating everybody else. Now let me really concentrate on these three, and who am I going to give my vote to this month?
Bless you.
I feel like these writers, these baseball writers of America, are not even doing that for these awards. And they literally determine, are you going to get paid more money? Yeah. Are you going to be a Hall of Famer? Are you going to... There's a lot that is determined on Rookie of the Year. Rookie of the Year now matters if you get a free first-round pick. I can't think of a more valuable award in all of baseball. Literally, it's the most valuable award in all of baseball is Rookie of the Year and finishing 2nd and 3rd. And if you don't know what you get is... You get a free first-round pick if your organization wins Rookie of the Year. So the Yankees and the Pirates will be picking 31st and 32nd in the 2025 MLB draft because their guy won Rookie of the Year. Well, what does it matter if you finish 2nd or 3rd? You didn't win. You didn't get the first-round pick. When you finish 2nd and 3rd, I'm sorry I don't have the exact amounts, you get international spending money more than other teams. So the Yankees now get... Because they stupidly put Austin Wells as 3rd place, they not only get a free first-round pick, they get another it's right around 500,000 for 3rd place, I believe. So now when the Rangers are competing for, let's say, some Dominican kid who's 16 years old who they both really like, you lose. Why do you lose? Because the Baseball Writers of America did not take the time for 30 minutes of their life to truly look over all the candidates for Rookie of the Year and make the best educated decision. There's no bigger award in all of baseball than Rookie of the Year. And these guys who say, and girls who say that they're so smart and they're doing all of these certain things, they didn't take the time. They didn't take 30 minutes of their life to truly look over all the candidates. They're like, Austin Wells, he made the All-Star team. He's on the Yankees, third place. If that's the consideration, Josh Young should have been third place last year. Josh Young, All-Star, leading candidate for Rookie of the Year at the All-Star break. Got hurt. Gunnar Henderson took the world over. He should have won it. But if we're going to use the same, if Baseball Writers of America are going to be moronic and not look at all of the stats and just do that, then Josh Young should have finished third last year, and the Rangers right now would be sitting in a better place to possibly sign Roki Sasaki because they gave Josh Young second or third place. If the same criteria is for Austin Wells, how come you screwed over Josh Young and the Rangers last year?
Get him, Mike.
There you go. There you go. All right. It is the KMC masterpiece from the Men's Tea Center in Frisco, 5000 El Dorado. It's all coming up next in the Fan.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Roadhome Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
I'm Jenna Fisher.
And I'm Angela Kinsey.
And together we have the podcast Office Ladies.
Just because we finished rewatching The Office does not mean we're going anywhere.
Every Wednesday, we'll be sharing even more exclusive stories from The Office and our friendship with brand new guests. Plus, you can revisit all the Office Ladies rewatch episodes every Monday with new bonus tidbits before every episode.
So follow and listen to Office Ladies on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at tmobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This show is brought to you by 5-Hour Energy. Being a fan is a hands-on job, which is why we're freeing up your hands for cheering, jeering, and everything in between. With 5-Hour Energy Fan E-Pack, you'll be fully equipped to hit the tailgate with all the energy you and your fellow diehards need for rooting on the home team. No matter what, just take a shot past the rest to your entire squad and keep the good times rolling. Now available on 5hourenergy.com with the purchase of Stand the Fan 5-Hour Energy, shipped nationwide.